I'd like to say, to make a statement that our families are eroding today. If you backed up 40 years ago, 50 years ago, family values were very important, you know, and the things that were taught in the households were very important. And today, in this generation, we all seem to be so busy. We allow the television to raise our kids, the Xboxes, the computer, and we allow that to take priority in their life, and they don't get the input from us as parents, grandparents, uncles, aunts in a family. So we're going to talk about this morning. We're going to talk about our roles, ways that we can be a blessing to our family. And I'd like to read a couple scriptures first, just to kind of leave you with something in your mind. It says, children are the heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is the reward. I'd also like to read in Corinthians, it says, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, but he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So I want to first say that our family and our kids, we need to look at it too as a long-term investment. We don't just start out and have kids and think, well, now that I got a little kid, it's going to raise itself. It's going to watch Barney every day, and it's going to teach it everything it knows, right? But there are families. I'm not saying everybody here does that. I'm not. I'm sure there's lots of good family people that we invest time in our kids, but it's a long-term investment. It goes from investing in your children. I think we invest in our children until the day we die. Because, you know, your children have children too. Then you become a grandparent. You live that role. If you're an uncle and aunt, well, and you don't have kids, then your opportunity is to invest in your niece and nephews. I know in our life, my brother and sister-in-law used to live just up the road from us. They didn't have any kids, and our kids were their kids. You know, they were always investing in our kids. They'd stop at our house and say, look, I'm going to take Hannah, and we're going to make cookies tonight. You know, or we're going to town. It wasn't like here where you can drive two blocks and you're at a store. You'd have to drive maybe 30 miles to get to a store. And they would say, look, we're going to take the kids and go. And my wife and I thought that was great. We had a free moment or two. But we all have our place in our family, whether it be mother, father, grandparent, you know, uncle or aunt. And so it's a long-term investment. We're investing in our family for a long period of time. It's much like the church, too. You know, when we come together as a church body, you know, we shouldn't look at it from the short term. We should look at it that you're here for the long term, right? We're going to invest in your life if you stay with us till you die. That should be our model. I'd like to say that scripture that talks about how we sow, if we sow a little bit, we'll reap a little bit. If we sow bountifully, we'll sow a lot, we'll reap a lot. From a farming background that I've had, I think about planting things. And if you ever had a garden, you plant a seed. If you just plant one seed, it may grow and it may not. Sometimes that seed germinates. And I noticed that the more you plant, the more will grow. It's not that complicated, you know. And I can remember, like, when we were cutting grain in the fall and we were filling the hoppers with grain, and there was always a pile on the ground that would fall. You know, you scoop some of it up, but you couldn't get it all because there was too much there. You wait 3 or 4 days and that'll grow. It'd be up that far, you know. Even when it was rocky ground. I know next to my barn, there was some rocky ground, and I spilt grain, a great big pile of it, and, you know, in just a few days, it was growing. I think of a story my wife, our farm was way off the road, so we had a long driveway, or laneway, if you want to call it that. And I had it all landscaped, ready to be seeded. So I take this big bag of seed out there, and I show my wife how to run the seeder. I said, you know, start seeding this. So she starts seeding. I go into the barn to do some stuff. I'm only there, and about 5 minutes, my wife's there. I'm like, what are you doing here? And she's like, well, I'm all out of grass seed. I'm like, what? She says, I'm all out of grass seed. And I said, well, there's enough grass seed there to do probably 20 acres. And so I give her some more. But that grew. And my son that's here could back me up on this. That one spot where she oversowed was the thickest piece of grass. And it seemed like we almost had to mow it every day. It was a nightmare. It would plug our mower. You know, it's just so thick. You know, it would grow just like crazy. And I mean, when you drove in, you could see the spot. Even when it was mowed, you knew where, you know, she put too much. But I say that to let us know that in our households, in our families, when we invest, we get a return, right? And if we sow a lot, we'll reap a lot. But if we sow a little bit, we'll reap a little bit. And I think today, we've had a lot of families that have been busy and have sidelined maybe their families, and they haven't sowed, and we see the state of our school systems and our kids because of it. You can look at families and see families that have sowed a lot into their kids, and they seem to be doing well. So, saying that, I have a few points that I think are important, and I have five, and I think we could have many, but just five I'm going to highlight on, and I have some scripture to back it up. But I think this is good practical things that we can use. And, you know, this is good for everybody here. If you don't have any kids, you're a young couple, you're going to have kids, hopefully, if the Lord blesses you with kids. You know, if you are not married, well, you're probably an uncle and aunt to somebody. So the first point I have is demonstrate an example. Now, I have a video I want us to watch. I think this is very appropriate. And if we could watch that.
Mad at the mommy. The mommy was mad at the daddy. And mommy and daddy were very mad at the grandpa. The grandma got mad at everybody.
I did not. It's wonderful.
The grown-ups were always very loud. It hurt the kids' ears. The end.
I think this proves my point on the first one, right? Demonstrating an example in our home. That's our first fill-in. Demonstrate an example. The scripture I put there says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glory in your Father in heaven. You know, like this little kid, he just seen his mom and dad arguing and his Grammy and Grampy arguing, and he wrote a book about it for his class project. Now, I think that demonstrates that our little ones watch our every move. And it watches us right down to the Grampy and Grammy, doesn't it? You didn't notice that, but the other guy on the far side, if you ever watched that show, that's the uncle. Takes in everybody. But we need to be an example in our household. You know, our kids mimic us. When I was a little kid, you know, I was following my dad around. You know, I was just a little guy. He had a hammer, and he was doing carpentry work, and I was pounding everything in sight. You know, and I was trying to be like him, right? And he used to say, you know, when you're a little kid, he said it was a full-time job just keeping track of my tools. You know, he'd be working on stuff, and I'd be lugging them. And so, you know, we have to be careful because, you know, our children watch us whether we do good things or whether we do bad things, right? There's a flip side to both of that. You know, if we're not showing love to our spouse, you know, if we treat our wife bad, typically kids will treat their wives bad. It's a learned trait at home. If they watch us love our wives, care for them, you know, our sons are going to be like that. I think of when Valentine's Day comes, and some of you might have heard this before, but with us at our house, I always cook my wife. I always decorate the table with flowers for my wife and my daughter from the time she was probably 2 years old. And I give them each flowers, chocolate. I cook them a meal. If the boys had a girlfriend, they were allowed to bring them, but they had to help. Okay? And I would do that every year for them. To this day, I still do it. And, you know, I'd tell Hannah, I'd say, now, you listen to Daddy. If you get a boy and he doesn't buy you flowers and chocolate for Christmas or for Valentine's Day, get rid of them. Get rid of them. If he can't buy you flowers and chocolate, don't keep him around. Now, I'm not telling you to go home and ditch your husbands. Women here, if you don't get flowers and chocolate, but to the men, you better start buying them chocolates and flowers for Valentine's Day. But what we do, how we act, they watch us spiritually. You know, I know I'm going to talk a lot about practical stuff here today, and it's very simple. But sometimes we overlook things, and sometimes we just forget the simple things in life. But, you know, how we act, even in a spiritual aspect, if we go to church and our kids are raised to go to church, they tend to go to church. You know, if they see us say, that's not important, I'll miss today, but I can go next week. They watch that. They see that. You know, I was raised that Sundays we went to church. We weren't allowed to play sports on Sunday or do anything. It was the Lord's Day, and we weren't allowed to do anything. And, you know, to this day, when I miss church, I feel guilty. Now, I'm not saying we guilt our kids into that, but it was the way I was raised. Like, Sunday is a day for the Lord. And so, you know, I just learned. My mom and dad went every time the door was open. And I just learned that it was a part of life. And my kids have learned the same thing. You know, when they were younger, they went to two different youth groups. And I'd have to run them to the Baptist one and then to ours. And, you know, they'd get upset if I said, well, why don't we go do this instead? You know? So be an example. That's an important thing. You're going to hear lots of stories today, so I'll try to not get off topic too far. The next point is correction and obedience. The Bible says that in Proverbs, he who spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him promptly. I think today there's a real breakdown in the area of discipline, and I'm not advocating that we all... There's lots of scriptures in the Bible. You can read it and make your own views on it. But I do believe that we need to discipline our little Johnny. When little Johnny does something wrong, we need to set little Johnny down and say, little Johnny, this isn't what you're supposed to do. You know, you need to discipline them. Some people will just let their kid lay there and throw a tantrum in the middle of the store. You know, you probably all had that happen. That's probably the most embarrassing thing is when your kid does that. But I think we need to teach our children and discipline them and tell them right from wrong. And I think the Bible is very clear on that. And I think it's important to teach respect in that area. A lot of kids today have no respect. They go to school, they don't respect their teacher. You know, I told my kids when they were young, the one thing they weren't allowed to do is disrespect their mother, or they'd have to deal with me. And they always respected their money. To this day, my kids are in their 20s. We have, well, Hannah's in 13, but, you know, my boys respect their mother. You know, it's a respect thing. And when you don't teach that, you know, you see the young children today that are not respectful. So respect is important, and working out your own thoughts and views on that, you can do it yourself. Number three is be a teacher. Now, this kind of coincides with everything we talk about today. This, the scripture says, train up a child in the ways that he should go, and when he is older, he will not depart from it. Okay, let's talk about teaching our children. I think today we're lacking training our children as parents. I think we can allow the TV and the internet and the GameCubes and that to raise our children. The parents are busy and we don't take the time out. And kids are longing for time with their parents, right? It's something that we as parents have to do. We have to train our kids up. We not just have to train them in the ways of the Lord, and I believe we should, and I believe we need to teach them that, but we do need to teach them how to do things too. Like we need to teach, mothers need to teach their daughters how to cook, you know, how to be a girl, how to be a wife. Fathers, I think fathers are the worst offenders of the bunch. I think there's not a lot of fathers today that stand up, be the man, and raise their kids. Because, you know, a lot of fathers, they're so busy working, they will not take that time for their kids. They expect their wife to do it. You know, and men don't all tackle me about this, but I do believe that we have fallen short in that area, and I think it's important. Kids need a father, they need a mother. They need a grandparent, they need a grandmother and a grandfather. They need an uncle and they need an aunt, and I think it's important because that's investing in them. You know, children are a long-term investment. Family is a long-term investment. It's like putting money in the bank. We put, you know, $100 in the bank every week because we want a retirement plan when we're 65 years old. Well, we're expecting a return. If we raise children and don't think we have to invest every day and every week, we're just fooling ourselves. We need to invest in our kids. We need to teach them. We need to train them. You know, one thing with my boys, we had a farm and we had an outside furnace, a boiler. I don't know if anybody's familiar, but it's a big wood furnace that heats water. You pump it through your house, keeps your house warm. And they use like this crazy amount of wood, which is a nightmare, like 10 cord of wood. And we would go to the woods, cut the wood, bring it in, cut and split it. And my sister-in-law used to think I was nuts. She would come down. She had no kids. And she'd say, you're making them little kids pile wood. They're like, I started them young. They were probably 7 or 8, you know, when they were big enough to carry even a small little stick of wood. And they learned to pile wood and do farm chores, but the wood was the big thing. that I had to make them do. And I would give them lectures every once in a while. I don't know if you guys have done that, but I'd say, boys, I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to teach you to work. When you grow up, if I don't teach you anything in life, I'm going to teach you how to work. And everybody's going to know it. And you know what? My boys are hard workers. I think Joel put in 80 hours in 6 days. You know, he's 20 years old. And the guys that he works for recognize that. Matthew's the same way. But that was one thing that I was going to teach my kid, was to work, you know. Now, I got a girl, that threw me a curve. So that's an all new challenge. I'm trying to learn how to deal with raising a girl. Boys are easy for dads, you know, because we're men and, you know, you can tell them if they fall down, just get up, suck it up. You don't need a Band-Aid, spit on it, get a little dirt on that, you know. With a little girl, you're like, oh, come here, sweetheart. You know, you're babying them. But that's where you still take time and you find out what works for your daughters. But, you know, we have to teach them as parents. It's very incredible, critical as mom and dads to invest. You know, I think about my grandparents. My grandparents were the greatest people in the world. I thought they were Superman and Wonder Woman, you know. You think, well, I raised my kids and my kids can raise their kids. No. You raise your kids and then you raise your grandkids and you raise them till you die. You're a part of them. It may be a different way you raise them, you know, but I look forward to going to my grandmother and grandfather's house. Like, I would live there if I was allowed. My grandmother loved me so much, like, I felt like I was God. You know, I walked in the house. It was just me and my brother. She cooked my favorite food every other day. I went there every day for lunch. You know, that was, she thought I could do no wrong. You know, if I would have killed somebody, my grandmother said, well, they must have deserved it. My Larry is so good. He's such a good boy. They must have been bad people and provoked him, and he must have had to do that. Because he, you know, that's how my grandmother made me feel. You know what I mean? Grandparents, it's important, you know. A lot of grandparents think, well, I don't have to do anything now. I've raised my kids, but we do, you know. And grandparents look at their kids totally different. You know, like my mom and dad would just spoil my kids, you know, send them home all juiced up, all jacked up on sugar, do whatever they, you know, wanted to do. But that's kind of the role of a grandparent, isn't it? To just, you know, give them a different perspective. And, you know, I'd spent umpteen hours sitting listening to my grandfather talk about his life and about his heritage. And I think that is incredible to be able to have that, you know, that influence. You know, as a grandparent, if you're here and you're starting to have grandkids, you know, influence them. Tell them about the old days. You know, tell them about things. Invest in them. They love you whether you tell them a long story or a short story. You know, they just love their grandparents. I know that's my grandfather. My boy's seen it, and we're talking about teaching. When he got older, he lived till he was 95 years old. The Lord healed him of cancer when he was 27. He was dying in bed back in, I'd have to do the math, but I'm going to say in the 30s or 40s. The Lord miraculously healed him. He was in bed for 2 years, dying. But he never forgot about what God had done for him, and he would tell me stories about that and about his life. And, you know, every Friday night I took him pizza to his house, and my son and daughter would go with me, and we'd sit there and watch him eat and listen to stories. You know, we'd shovel his roof off. We'd shovel his driveway. I think it's important to respect them and to pour back into them and to allow your children to be influenced in that way. So be a teacher. Teach them how to do chores. Women, teach your daughters how to cook. I already said that. But teach your kids practical things. Don't be too busy not to spend time with him. Because that's all kids are looking for. They're learning. They want to spend time with you, and they like to learn, and they're going to learn from you. So be a teacher. Number four, I said lend an ear. It says, let every man be swift to hear and slow to speak and slow to wrath. I think about a lot of times children just want to talk to you. They just want you to lend an ear. You know, we as parents, we're all the time telling our kids what they should do and what they shouldn't do. And we don't really listen to them and get a sense of their heart. You know, I thought about when I was preparing this, I thought about last week. Joel's off Mondays, I'm off Mondays. He's looking to buy a truck. So we spent the day together driving all over the world looking for a pickup truck. And, you know, I had a whole afternoon of hearing about him. He shared about his life and what's going on with him and what he's thinking and, you know, his heart and, you know, every aspect of his life. You know, we as parents can be so busy telling our kids, living our own life, that we don't listen to our kids. You know, I think of Hannah. She just turned 13. I took her to, her birthday was last week, and we had done something for her special, but the actual day of her birthday, I picked her up from school, took an hour off, and went and bought her flowers. And we went to Starbucks. We'd never been to Starbucks. And we're both standing there, and we're like, what should we get? And I'm like, you get this, and I'll get this, and we'll try it and see if we like it. And so we got our Starbucks, and then we drove around, just her and her dad and her flowers and our Starbucks, and I listened to her. You know, are we taking time to listen to our kids? Doesn't matter how old they are. Doesn't matter if they're 5 years old or they're 30 years old. You know, I'm 48, and I wish I had my parents alive that I could sit down and just talk to every once in a while. So it never ends. From this age to an old age. But lend an ear to your kids. Lend an ear. John Maxwell says that people won't know how much you know until they know how much you care. I think if we really show our kids how much we care for them and we listen to them, they'll know. They'll listen to us, you know. But I think, too, if we really invest, take that attitude that it's a long-term investment and we're going to invest a lot in their lives, that we will see the fruit of that in our old age. I really believe that. And so me as a father, have I always been perfect? No. But I have consciously tried to do that in their lives and invest. The last one is show love. The Bible says in Corinthians, the greatest of these is love. Now, my thought of love, we should always show love to our kids, and I mean in different ways, but I will say that I think it's critical that we give our kids a hug. Like, we're not talking rocket science stuff here today, but there's so many households that you'll hear kids that are in their teenagers or in their 20s. My cousin, he's in his 40s, and he said, you know, my dad never hugged me his whole life. He said, I know he loved me, but he never hugged me, right? Don't be afraid to hug your children, you know? Give them a hug. Show them some love. I think sometimes it's more of a challenge for men to do it than women. Moms are easier at hugging. Now, me, as I get, I'm always been an affectionate, touchy-feely type guy. My kids will tell you, like when he was here a month ago, I'm hugging my 20-year-old. Right? And I think it's important. I think it's important that they know you love them. Right? I think that's very important. I'll say to Hannah, give me your cheek. She'll turn her head. I'll kiss her on the cheek. I say that to her all the time. This morning before I left, I said, Hannah, give me your cheek. She flips her cheek and I kiss her on the cheek. don't be afraid to show love. These kids, they're just looking for some love. Most of us, that's all we're looking for too. Why do you think we get married? We want somebody to love us. Well, it's not hard stuff. The Bible's very simple, you know? But if we show love and we give love, it's good. It's all good. Take time to love people. You know, this what I'm talking about in our family, this applies in our church too. It applies to the family of God. Now, I might say don't go around kissing everybody. But you know, like there is times we need to show love, right? We need to be an example, you know? We need to teach people all these things. There's times we need to listen to people in the church. You know, our Heavenly Father is a great example. So just take the simple principles that you would apply in your house, apply them in the church. Show love. Greet somebody. Give them a hug. I want to read you a couple more things as we get before we close. There was a popular psychologist named Gary Smalley, and he sent out to over hundreds of people, and he wanted them to respond and say, what is one thing that your father did to show you a blessing? How did your father bless you? I just want to read you a few of what responses came back to him, but I thought it was pretty interesting. It says, my father would put his arm around me at church and let me lay my head on his shoulder. Simple. But you know what? I can remember doing that with my kids. I think Hannah did that a couple weeks ago to me. But I can remember when I was a kid doing that to my dad. You know, I'd be sitting in front seat of the church. I always sat with my dad because my mom played the piano when I was a little kid. And he used to do that all the time. Put his arm around me, let me lay my head in there. And you know, the peace and the overwhelming good feeling that feels when you're just a little kid, you know? I just thought that was interesting. There's a bunch here. It says, when my father was facing a transfer at work, he purposely took another job so that I could finish my senior year in the high school that I was in. That was a big commitment from a father to give up. We as parents, sometimes we do need to give up things for the good of our family. Here's another one. When I wrecked my parents' car, my father's first reaction was to hug me and let me cry instead of yelling at me. Probably most parents would yell at their son, you know what I mean? And give him a hard time. And I know that my boys both had crashes, and maybe I handled one good and one bad, you know, but that's a true father's love, right? Another one here says that my father went with me to take back an ugly dress that a salesperson sold me. Thought that was interesting. Another one says, my father let me practice pitching with him for long hours when he got home from work. The last one, even though I had never seen him cry, my father cried during my wedding because he was going to miss me and no longer have me at home. That says something. These experiences people had, I think, are moving. They move me. I think of my life and my kids and, you know, how I responded and how I treated them. And, you know, I'm not saying I always did everything perfect, but, you know, I tried to take my kids and do things with them, invest time in them. Sometimes I said to Deidre, I said, I don't know what we did right, but I think maybe the investment of time was the critical thing, you know? and the example they see, right? Every point that I hit here, being an example in your house. I think our kids watch us closer than we think. They want to marry people like us. So that's what they see. So if they see a good marriage, they tend to follow in a good marriage. So our family is number one, and it should be a priority. And so we need to just take these words, think about them, apply them in your life, about being a blessing, you know. Think about how you can bless your kids from this point on. If you've fallen short in some areas, then try to rectify those. Try to take this day from here on in and try to say, you know, I'm going to be more conscious of lending an ear to my son or my daughter, or I'm going to spend more time with my kids, or I'm going to be a part of my grandkids' life, or I'm going to be the best uncle or aunt that's possible out there, you know? It's a critical thing. Let's pray. Can we all stand?